This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's the only line I'm trying to walk here. You're not going to hear from me that yesterday was okay.
Of course.
What you're going to hear from me is that yesterday was yesterday. Yesterday was yesterday. It was not a narrative on the entire umbrella of everything that's happened over the last 5 years of 49er football. And so now we need to go in a different direction or we're hosed. That's all. That's all. I got to think that most of you see a middle ground there. No?
You should. Or if you don't see a middle ground, you're probably, I think, too irrational. But it's an overreaction Monday.
Sure.
And I get that.
So do I.
If I put the over-under at wins the rest of the year at 6.5, you probably would take the over.
For the season?
No, 6.5 more wins.
Oh.
So will they get to 10-7 is the question. Because right now you're 3-4. Can you get to 10-7? If you get to 10-7, you probably are in a tiebreaker scenario in the division. And if one of your remaining six wins is against Seattle, then you're probably going to win the division at 10-7. If they are also 10-7, you'd win that tiebreaker.
10 more games and you're putting the over-under at 6.5?
Right. Can you win seven more of your remaining 10? We know that they're really good in November and December, and you know you're going to get more healthy, and you seem to think that this Sunday night is going to be a layup. It's Dallas.
That's less about a 49er compliment, and that is more a criticism. I think Dallas is awful. I think Dallas's defense is among the worst in the league. They cannot run the football. It's the most one-dimensional team in the entire NFL. And if you just stick Demo Lenore over there on CeeDee Lamb and back him up with a safety, I don't know what the hell Dallas even offers the football game.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they offer.
We can get into that because it's going to be Cowboys week here before too long. Yeah. But right now we're still reflecting on this disaster. And I look at yesterday and I'm hard-pressed to see that team go to Green Bay, go to Buffalo, beat Detroit, and, you know, these are...
Agree with you.
These are some tough spots.
But this team doesn't have
exactly.
to do that.
They won't be
I
that
don't
team.
Know what... Yeah. That's Thanksgiving, and I haven't even made my plans yet. So that means it's still a little ways away.
Well, we're locked in
I don't
already.
Even know what... Do you know what day you're leaving town?
Oh, no, we stay.
Whatever you're doing. Do you know what day you're doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You're hosting?
The Pop hosts.
Okay.
Yeah, he wrote a Thanksgiving cookbook, so this is his Super Bowl.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Could you get me that?
Yeah. It's
Give
actually
me a copy.
It's Thanksgiving
stuff.
Sides. It's all about the sides.
Oh, it's just the sides. Well, that's kind of what Thanksgiving's all about.
Correct.
Yeah.
His broccoli souffle is restaurant quality.
Broccoli souffle.
Yeah, that thing comes out of the oven, and it doesn't fall until he says it's time to fall.
I bet there's an aroma there. That sounds
it's
like
incredible.
An aroma dish.
Yeah.
It's good.
Oh, he brings it.
See, cooked broccoli doesn't always smell the best.
No, but eat the souffle. Anyway. He's got that souffle working.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'll get you a copy of the cookbook.
All right. Just
maybe for a wedding gift.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll be ready by
Keep
2028. Ryan in Irvine is next. Hi, Ryan. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, I'll be honest. I've been on hold for so long, I don't even remember what I wanted to say.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Say whatever's on your mind.
It's okay. Yeah, I've been thinking about what some of the callers have said, and I agree with you in the sense that I guess I have a little bit more measured take. First of all, we're not tanking. that's crazy. But we're also not winning a Super Bowl. And I think that's just the reality of the situation we're in. We're a pretty talented team. We have some pretty, amazing, talented players. But my personal thoughts are, I think Kyle Shanahan's a good coach. But more than likely in the Super Bowl, you're going to be going against a really good coach. And in the case of Kansas City, two amazing coaches. I mean, they have two head coaches on their staff, you know?
Well, they're very good. I guess, Ryan, can we ask, like, this would be my only question. Because I think what you're saying right now makes all kinds of sense. But, like, in sports, there's just bajillions of examples of teams that look like crap halfway through a season, and then something adjusts. Somebody gets healthy. Something changes. They go on a run. Every Super Bowl Eli Manning ever won, go check out where they were week 7. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and who is their defensive coordinator? I mean, the guy that's now with Kansas City. So this is my thought. My thought is we're getting into this insanity realm where we think that we have enough data, we have enough information on Kyle Shanahan to know that if it comes down to him making certain calls, making certain adjustments throughout the game on offense, I just don't think that it's going to work. And so I don't have the answers. What I do know is that he has way too much power. He has control over who they draft, who runs the defense, what the scheme is of the defense, the offensive play calling. He's wearing so many hats. And so my initial thoughts are, with that arrangement that he has in San Francisco, it just won't work. And you know, the difference between Andy Reid, Andy couldn't get it done with Philly.
Right.
And sometimes he stretched himself too thin. He had terrible time management, right? He lucked out by getting a second chance and by getting Mahomes. And I personally think one of the things that he learned from that experience is to have some humility and just trust people around him. Trust that, hey, I'm going to get the best defensive mind that I can get, and I'm not even going to worry about that side of the ball.
Wait, but
I'm going to trust that the...
But Ryan, do you think that Kyle has more power in the Niner organization than Andy has in Kansas City?
First of all, the answer to that is yes.
Hmm.
And secondly, I think it's because he wants the power. I don't think Andy wants that power. I think he trusts the people around him.
I think Andy has that power. Ryan, thank you. We want to get to everybody. Do you?
Kansas City has three head coaches, by the way, because Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator, is a head coach,
right.
And Steve Spagnuolo, as Tom Brady would call him, he also has been a head coach.
Yeah, but
Spagnuolo.
Matt Nagy is over there getting coffee for Andy. I mean, he's not calling plays. So like.
He'd probably call him plays, but he works with Andy.
Yeah, like, I mean, the only thing
that I look at Kyle with in terms of Andy is Andy does give his coordinators and his people a lot more control. I see Kyle over there with the play sheet, and I do think that sometimes he's too fixated on being an offensive coordinator, and I'm seeing problems with the special teams and problems with the defense, and I don't know how he goes about allocating his time as the head coach.
Here's how, again, just perception. I have never been on the Kansas City Chiefs sideline.
Right.
From what I've heard, I don't know if it's he gives more power to his coordinators. I think that Andy Reid might be a little more open-minded than Kyle Shanahan, because we've heard a lot where, like, Patrick or Travis will come over to Andy and be like, Andy, this is what will work. Let's do this. Have this guy run a bubble XY, like whatever the hell you want to call
right.
it. I don't know the terminology. And Andy will be like, you guys think it'll work? Let's try it. Doesn't feel to me like that's something that Kyle's really into. Kyle's like, nah,
yeah.
Thanks. We'll take that under advisement.
Well, you saw it yesterday with the Carson Wentz comes into the game,
yeah.
And you know, all of a sudden he's now the quarterback, and Mahomes is behind him just chilling.
Maybe more creativity
yeah.
or more, as I would call it, open-mindedness. So I guess that's fair. But here's, for me, the larger question. I wonder how you'd answer this, because he says Kyle's got too much power, and it's, quote, not working. Well, whatever structure they've built, over a six and a half year period now of Kyle Shanahan, that power structure has or has not been a good thing. Has it not worked?
It's worked, but maybe it's limiting, and maybe it's gotten like as far as it can get.
Maybe.
And that's, you know,
maybe.
It's definitely speculation, but I look at things like an overtime coin toss decision and clock management.
Yep.
And again, yesterday, I didn't love the clock management at the end of the second quarter when you got down in the red zone and you only had one timeout and you chose to throw on second down where You can run it on second down, and you still have a timeout, and you had 35 seconds or so. I don't love a lot of the things that he does with the clock management, and I don't know if he has those checks and balances.
My perception is on the Chiefs, there are a few head coaches around the league who, like, it's their show. And I think the Niners are one of those. I think the Chiefs are, too. I know we've heard of the defensive coordinator a hell of a lot more because he's got his lengthy resume.
Yep.
But I don't know that he's doing things that the Niners defensive coaches aren't doing. Kyle's not over there being like, you're messing everything up on defense. We're going to, like, he, I think, lets the defensive coaches do their thing. He's had two defensive coordinators go on to be head coaches in this league.
Yep. One still has his job, too.
And doing real well. You know? Anyway, keep them coming. Everybody on hold, we're coming to you. 888-957-9570. Kyle Shanahan spoke short time ago. Injury updates and more. We'll let you hear that in just a moment. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. It's Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I do love D'Amador Lenore.
D'Amador Lenore again.
Oh, my.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome, Grandy. That was for you.
The number one team in the nation.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of a scary spot to be this year.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough of Oregon for the day.
And scene.
Yeah. I thought you meant the Niners, the number one team in the nation.
still allowed to be.
Not this week.
Not this week. Yeah. I do like D'Amador Lenore. He is making a hell of a case that if it does, if the Niners and their salary situation at the end of the year are like Charvarius Ward, D'Amador Lenore, easy call.
Easy call.
Easy call.
Yeah. And it just, it reminds you of yesterday for me.
Yeah.
You come out third play of the half, boom, Lenore, pick, big return, in business, touchdown Niners, 14-12. Even yep. with the PAT miss, fine. Yep. Momentum, Niners, Chiefs go three and out, okay. Here we go. Even though you don't have Ayuk, he'd already been hurt by then, and Deebo Samuel had switched into street clothes, and you had a bunch of rooks on offense and defense. You're down by two, and you've got the ball. Let's cook, Brock. And he cooks. And then he burns himself in the kitchen. And he drops the dude on the floor.
He went to the bathroom and forgot that he had the stove on. Yeah.
Overthrows Ronnie Bell by about 9 yards.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. And
what was that?
Maybe it was he thought that Bell would run a little bit of a deeper route,
well,
but you still have to see a guy and throw it to the guy, and that was just that was like a Jimmy Garoppolo special.
Shanahan said post game that Ronnie Bell did not run the wrong route. That's what the route was supposed to be.
They put it on
Shanahan,
put it on Purdy, and Purdy put it on Purdy. Now I don't know if that's protecting Ronnie Bell, who has already been through one hell of a week. But
one bell of a week.
Yeah, like I don't know, man.
You're trying too hard. Yeah, you're right.
If that was just a miss, I would argue that is Brock's most inaccurate throw of his career. I mean, he threw that. He airmailed that thing by 15 yards.
It was giving me Jimmy Garoppolo vibes.
Even Jimmy didn't miss by that much.
Were times.
Jimmy would have waited until he could have run Ronnie Bell right into a defender.
See it.
And gotten him a concussion. That's what Jimmy would have done. Impossible. Anyway, speaking of Kyle Shanahan and noises, let's see if he made any earlier today as he addressed the media, and then we go right back to your phone calls. This is just a handful of minutes, but you're going to want to hear it, important stuff, and he starts off with an update on all of the injuries.
Injuries from the game. Chris Conley had an ankle sprain. He'll be day-to-day. George Kittle, foot sprain, day-to-day. Debo Samuel, he had kind of an odd illness, some fluid in his lungs, so technically pneumonia. And confirming Brandon Ayuk did tear his ACL, so obviously be out for the season.
Do you have a timeline for Debo Samuel?
No, he's we'll see how he's in the hospital still, and we'll see how he recovers here over these next couple of days.
Is there any other ligament damage to Brandon that could complicate his recovery?
I know he had the MCL also, but I didn't look into all of it yet. I just finished with the players, but I was told ACL, and there's MCL in there also.
Kyle, you had a lengthy talk with Brock in the locker room after the game. Was there anything you were focusing on in particular when talking to him?
No, we're talking like we always do. I just didn't realize all you guys were standing behind me spying on us. But it was just love talking to guys after the game. I just happened to be walking back and he was standing right there, so we stopped and started talking. It really caught me off. I forgot everyone was still in there. We were just hanging out talking about the game and things like that, and then when I looked behind, you guys kind of scared me. I didn't realize everyone was creeping so bad, but that's just what we all do. We talk.
Looking back at the film, is there anything Brock is not seeing or that he is seeing that isn't there? I mean, when you look at the film?
Every game. I mean, there's always same with the other quarterback on the other side. But, you know, those three picks I know Brock would love to have back. You know, he didn't have anything on that last one down in the red zone, but he's got to sit there and take the sack so he can kick a field goal and make it a 6-point game.
Are there any coaching points that in particular you're focusing on with him, or is it just all around seeing things the way they are on the field as opposed to what he might think he's seeing?
We got coaching points on every single play. So, I can't give an overall just narrative for you guys on a coaching point, but each play is different. And Brock's having a hell of a year. Didn't have his best game yesterday. That's why I'm a little bit late in here. Just finished going through all those 70-something, 80 plays and got something on all of them for not just Brock, but for everybody.
Kyle, when did Debo go to the hospital? Was it something he didn't realize was as bad during the game, or did he go in last night, this morning?
He went in last night. I think it started acting up in the middle of the night, Saturday night or early Sunday morning, and then it just kind of evolved as the day went. So once we found out he had the fluid in his lungs and stuff after the game, then I believe they sent him over there. I'm not sure the timeline of it, but I just found out that's where he was Sunday night when I was at home.
Kyle, have you had a chance to catch up with Brandon, and what's his initial reaction to the injury news?
I talked with him last night, just calling him at his house. I haven't seen him today, he was hurting, just bummed out, you know, as exactly how you'd expect. But he's a strong dude and spiritual guy, and believes everything happens for a reason, so he'll be all right. But definitely a little down last night, and I was just telling him how bad I felt for him, and just let him know we're all here for him through this.
Kyle, I'm sure you probably wanted to ease Ricky in a little bit more than you were able to, but when you went back and looked at the film, what did you see from him, and what are your expectations going forward?
Yeah, I was proud of Ricky just for him having to be ready for some spots that we were hoping he didn't have to be ready for. I mean, not just him, but also Jay Cowing and Ronnie Bell. You know, Conley's been in that role, and we've been utilizing him in a number of spots when guys are out or just taking a couple plays off. But we had to mix a lot of stuff around there in the second quarter and halftime, or mainly halftime. And those guys were in some spots they didn't get reps at, and they're – for the most part, they didn't make too many mistakes and gave us a chance to get back in the game and gave us a chance to win. And hopefully we can build off of that. And, you know, these guys are going to get a lot more reps going forward with BA being out with Juwan and Debo. Not sure if we'll get them back this week or not. So it was a good start for those guys, and they should have a lot more coming.
where do things stand with Christian and Jake Moody, and also anything on Dre Greenlaw potentially coming back to practice anytime soon?
Christian's still progressing through his rehab. He hasn't had any setbacks, so it's been all good news so far. Be surprised to get him back this week. But, you know, hopefully that the bye week will go well and have a much better chance there right after the bye week. And Greenlaw's still a few weeks after that. Everything's still going fine, but no time soon right now. And Jake Moody with a high ankle sprain, I mean, we know we're not going to get him back till after the bye week at the earliest, so we'll have to wait till then to see how he reacts.
Kyle, you talked about a hard look at the film today. What was it like going over there with that team, and how did you think they responded?
You know, I try to cover as much as I can as the team. I don't get as much into the details with the team because there's so many clips to go over. I try to just let them know what happened throughout the game, the perspective of all three phases, and then we break up into our rooms and detail it in the positions a lot more. But, you know, it's always hard after a loss like that to come in and watch it. I thought the guys handled it well, though. I wanted to show all the spots that, as bad as it did feel, how many times we had a chance to win, and that, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from Kansas City, but how much we hurt ourselves in that game and how many things that, despite injuries, despite anything like that, that are still that we can dictate. And we did it at times, which got us close, but it wasn't good enough, and we made too many mistakes. And with the turnovers, with some of the things in the red zone, and there's a number of things that we can do a lot better that can lead to a win. And if you don't correct that stuff, it doesn't matter who you play. You end up being a 500-type team.
Kyle, with the injury to Brandon and the situation with Debo, you talked about Conley and Jennings' hip. How does that shape up your strategy going forward with the trade deadline a couple of weeks now closing in? We saw a couple of wide-out movements. How does that factor in into the way you're thinking about the trade deadline now?
It makes you look into everything. I mean, we try to look into everything regardless, obviously with more issues that came up yesterday. You still want to look into everything, but has to do with what options are out there, with stuff that we can pull off that doesn't totally hurt us, that helps us now and doesn't hurt us for the future. So there's lots of decisions that go into it, so we'll look into everything, but a lot of times that's just kind of living in hope. Those answers aren't always out there. You got to be ready to get people better in your building and deal with what you got in your building. And if you ever find something that makes sense, we'll never hesitate on it, but that isn't it's not always available like you hope it is.
Okay, that's Kyle Shanahan, and I think that last one's a dang interesting answer
about the trade deadline.
Well, I Mike Williams, Cortland Sutton, those are two names I would keep an eye and an ear on. And if I'm the 49ers, I am absolutely right now canvassing the market for a wide receiver. And I know you said earlier, look, you got two rookies that you drafted, but did you notice his answer earlier in the conversation when he talked about Ricky Pearsall, who did, quote, a good job being ready for things that we didn't want him to be ready for?
Right.
In other words, we don't want to give him too much too soon as his first NFL game. So with no Brandon Ayuk, now Chris Conley is a little bit dinged up as well. Debo Samuel's in the hospital today, no timeline for his return. And Brandon Ayuk is gone for the year. Like, I mean, whether it's for insurance or maybe more, I'm working hard to not get a wide receiver in 2 weeks. I'm working hard to get a wide receiver in for Sunday night. And I don't know if he's going to have a big role or a small one, but no reason to wait for the bye week. Get this person in. Get him some work in a practice game week scenario. If it's only a spot duty type of a thing against Dallas, then give that person 2 full weeks to be ready for Tampa Bay. I don't know where this wide receiver room is going. I'm confident it needs help, though.
Yeah, I don't think that you'd be able to bring him in now. If you brought somebody in tomorrow via a trade, by the time they have their physical, then you're into Wednesday, and I'm told that the Shanahan playbook is so difficult to learn that you're going to be able to have a guy just step on the field in 4 days as a receiver and learn all the terminology and learn all the pre-snap movement and all of the motions and all the rest of it.
Did Devontae Adams and Amari Cooper not just do that? They just did that.
In this offense.
Well, I mean,
we're talking about the Shanahan offense, and I've heard you say and everybody else say the Shanahan offense is so complicated.
But you
that
can dumb it down for 1 week for one player again.
I think it's an easier fit to do it during the bye week, and that way the person has 2 weeks of a run-up. It's just my personal opinion. And, you know, even if you were to trade for Williams right now, this very second, and you bring him out, you got to have the physical on Tuesday. There's no practice Tuesday, so now you've got 3 days of practice, and you don't practice Saturday, so feels like a little bit of an aggressive ramp up to get him ready, but yeah, you may need some help in the wide receiver room. If Debo has pneumonia, and I'm not saying he does, but he's got fluid in his lungs and he's in the hospital. That much we know, and that is scary.
Sure.
When you want to go from fluid in your lungs in the hospital to being an elite athlete who is really, the most important thing that he does is run really fast. So, I don't know, to go from that to that.
It's not great, Bob.
No, it's not. No, and Chris Conley also is a little bit banged up.
Yeah, day to day. Listen, I acknowledge what you're saying. I'm not, look, this is a difficult time and a difficult situation for the 49ers. I get it. I'm just saying sooner than later is better, in my opinion. I don't even know what kind of a role this person would have this Sunday night, but a role, have this person on the sideline ready to go, because you're so hamstrung now that you're like, you're another injury. I don't even, is Juwan Jennings certainly back? I don't know if we know that yet. I mean, you're literally looking for bodies right now. So I think they're going to need to make a move at that position, and I wouldn't wait. You're allowed to. I know you can wait. The deadline is not yet, but I would do this thing ASAP. And these are not expensive moves. These are not hard moves make. So
especially when it's a receiver who the team is pretty much looking to move. You might to, you know, give up a fifth and get back the player in a seventh or some sort of a late pick swap. And you also still have Trent Taylor, who is on your practice squad.
Sure.
And he's a guy you can easily elevate for a week while you're looking to bring somebody in via a trade. The trade deadline's in 15 days, so it's not a total emergency in terms of the deadline itself. So you could wait one more week. You could hope that Juwan's able to play. You could hope that Debo's lungs get fluid free, and then you don't have such an urgent need, and maybe you could make a move, you know, by the end of next week. And if it's Anderson, or you were talking about Cortland Sutton was another name that's out there.
Mike Williams, remember they did that deal for Terrace Marshall, put him on the practice squad before the year. I think he would have been up by now if they were loving what they
and
were seeing.
They cut him, so
they?
Yeah.
Is he gone
they
now?
Did. Yeah.
They
last did last week.
Okay.
They do have T.O. on the practice
that's
squad.
That's right, Tariq Owens, yeah.
So, I mean, if you're looking at other possibilities, you have a couple on your practice squad, Trent Taylor and T.O., Tariq Owens. So there's options in the building. And I guess if you loved Trent Taylor, he probably would be active more often, right?
Yeah, so, okay, double fade to Dibbers in 5 minutes, but let's get back to the phones, Connor in San Leandro. Hi, Connor, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Mark, congratulations on your engagement.
Thank
as
you.
A new father. I love hearing about Dibbs's, you know, kid, and love knowing that we've got a new we can bank on a permanent fixture of the lovely Chrissy being a reference for the rest of the show. So it's just fantastic. It's part of the success of the show that everyone loves the people who are on the mics here.
I offered her a very long-term contract, even longer than Moses Moody, and she said yes.
Max money, too.
Yeah, well, there's exactly. No salary caps.
No.
So, listen, what I just heard from Kyle Shanahan, I think, underscores what your last caller said. He's got too much going on. You just lost to the Chiefs in that fashion, and you need to focus on the market dynamics for wide receivers right now. And you know what it makes me think? Like, the thing that comes to mind is stop buying candles and pay the light bill. I don't, you know, when you have a fundamental fissure in the trenches on your offensive line, I don't want you focused on just getting to the bye. I think you don't have to say that with other coaches because Kyle has personnel control. Now, I don't want to fire anyone. I definitely don't want to tank. I think Brock is our guy. He's our franchise guy. But that part of Kyle's arrangement needs to be questioned. Yes, you know, Mark, you've said, well, you know, it's what got us here. I think the Celtics did a shift with Brad Smith that shows you that you don't always need to stick with what got you here in order to acknowledge how great it was. You know, I look at some of the gimmicks around personnel. I look at drafting a kicker in the third round. I even look at Ricky Pearsall as our first pick last year. And I think some of this stuff is just the result of Kyle has too much on his plate. I'm a bit tired of how long personnel adjustment takes. Like, we didn't get Charvarius Ward until 2022, despite everyone calling and calling and calling and saying the obvious since 2019. Hey, we've got a problem in the secondary. And I fear that because Kyle's the only guy who really gets sign off and all this stuff, we don't have the ability to shift like the Chiefs did after they lost to Tom Brady and realized offensive line needs to be the priority. Now, we have an offensive line that helps us basically elevate our running backs. You know, we've got a great run-based offensive line, but the story of the future for the 49ers is Brock. And that means you need to focus on pass protection. And I don't know if there's anyone in the building who's specifically tasked about strategically thinking about that pivot long term. And that concerns me.
Yeah, Connor, look, thank you very much. This is fair. That's a very, very fair assessment of the situation. I know what the Niners' answer at least was coming out of the last draft, which is you can say draft an offensive lineman. And if we get to our pick and we don't think there's anybody there who we feel is worthy of that spot, we're not going to just jam an offensive lineman into this hole. Now, in the third round, they went and got a different offensive lineman who everybody really likes.
No doubt.
They're very excited about Dominic Pooney. So,
and 2 years earlier, you drafted an offensive lineman that everybody likes in Aaron Banks.
That's right.
And it took him a year, but now he is a fixture.
So, like, I'll defend it from that standpoint. I don't think you can say, hey, this is our positional need, automatic draft that person in first round.
Exactly.
I don't think that's the right thing to do.
Especially this year where like three tackles were already gone. Like
right.
The really good three tackles were already all gone.
However, could you argue from a larger sense that over a 2-3 year period, the 49ers haven't quite put the resources toward the offensive line that you would like? I don't think that's a terribly unfair assessment.
It's not unfair. Yeah. There's one glaring reason, rat on the table style, why they haven't had the draft capital to assess that need.
That's a great point.
Because you traded three picks for Trey Lance, and all those first-round picks that you maybe could have missed on an offensive lineman, you didn't even have the chance to miss on it. Because you just picked them away. I didn't want to do it, Granny. I'm in a good mood.
Wait, what word did you just say? You picked him away?
Yeah.
I mean, let's make some picks. Let's make some picks.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Dibbles gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
All right, we got double action tonight. You're going to get a lot of action tonight. Not just those of you who got engaged over the weekend.
Hey,
about to get some action tonight, okay?
Wow.
You got, and give me the FanDuel lines. Are we at 4 or 4.5?
Ravens by 4.5.
It's at 4.5.
And Chargers by 1.5.
Okay, Chargers favored by 1.5. These are two road dogs on Monday night. Road dogs. So, Chargers in the second game, -1.5 against the Arizona Cardinals. Meantime, Tampa Bay Bucks will host the Baltimore Ravens, and the Ravens are giving 4.5 dibs. What the heck say you?
They're home dogs. These are home dogs.
That's what I meant.
Yeah,
that's what I meant.
A couple of home dogs. And, man, the Bucks. Mike Evans is on the precipice of history. He is one touchdown catch away from the 100-touchdown club. I expect a high-scoring affair in that one, so I'm going to take Tampa Bay, and I'm going to take the 4.5, Kukush.
Mm-hmm.
Kukush.
And
the other one's a little tougher because
the other one's just there's a reason they're only streaming this one.
Thank you.
Anyway,
and the high scoring affair in the first game as opposed to the ugly kind of grinded out affair of the second game. Harbaugh's trying to win every game 9-8, 11-10 if possible.
Oh,
he wants to squeeze the life out of this product. And I don't love calamari in this game. I do have Trey McBride on my fantasy team, so I'm gonna take both home dogs. I'm gonna hold my nose. It's a hold your nose special. I'm gonna take the Cardinals and the 1.5. Cuckoo.
Okay.
I got
a couple things I need to say.
We're gonna go back
to the phones in a second.
The Cardinal Charger game is a stay away.
It's a stay away, completely.
But I don't have that option. And I really do like the Bucks and the points.
This is completely off the subject of your stinky picks.
I'm 10-11. I'm close to a streak.
That's stinky. Anyway, have you seen Jim Harbaugh walk?
Is he healthy? Before I answer,
have you?
Because he had to go in the tent last game. Mid-game, he had to go to the medical tent.
How old is Jim?
60.
Is he in his 60s? Is he in the 60s, Spaghetti?
Yes.
I got him for late 50s. What do you think?
He will be 61 on December 23rd, right. So he's currently 60.
Right. So he's already 60.
Yeah. Be careful.
Okay. Well, no, this isn't a criticism. It's just uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. Like, he is all bow-legged and sideways and, like, I get it. He's a former NFL player. The body's been through some things.
And a quarterback at
but
that.
But he's a quarterback, right? So that's like...
Well, that was back when you could hit the quarterback.
You could hit the quarterback, but it's not like a lineman. Like a lineman, I get it. When you're 60, that's it. You know what I mean? Like you've put your body through hell. Anyway, Jim does not move like he used to. But very good coach. And let me just say, I'll say it quietly because I want to be respectful to my partner. But you're taking both of the home dogs
home
tonight?
Home diggity dogs.
I want y'all to fade the dibber.
Fade the dibber?
Fade the dibber.
Yeah, I don't...
You could get a parlay tonight.
How'd that work out for you last time there was two Monday night games? I went 2-0.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I think I did.
You didn't.
Last time there were two Monday night games was week 4.
You went 1-1.
You went 1-1 because you picked Miami and they lost by 19.
I told you to go with one and not the other, and I hit a parlay.
As much as you talk, big talker, Betty Crocker, you would figure that you'd have a lot more money lying around.
You're not in my pockets.
I was trying to zoom in on the engagement rings to see if totally I give it to you. I'm waiting for my lovely wife's supper to weigh in.
On how much money I have?
No, on the ring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll send you a better. I didn't put the close up on Instagram because that's rude.
You got to flex on people.
No.
Win all this money, fading the dinner.
Instagram is about our love.
Oh, God.
And I'll send you the private picture of the other stuff.
Thank you.
All right.
Take it.
Anyway, presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. All right, the fun's over. It's back to being mad. 888-957-9570. If you have anything to get off your chest from yesterday's big crapola fest, now's the time. We got a full hour for nothing but anger about the 49ers on 95.7 The Game in Willard and Dibs, 888-957-9570.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, yeah. We're working our way into the final hour of a 12-hour 95.7 The Game frustration soiree. And you've all done great. You've done wonderful. I don't think anybody hit anybody, at least not yet.
It's early.
It's not. It's not early. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands and Lathrop, but River Islands is probably furious today because when the Niners lose to the Chiefs, you know how many guests we have on this station?
0.00.
Zippo dippo.
Yeah.
You the guest. So,
except for the pre-scheduled guests, such as Jerry Rice, who was on this morning, and you were talking about no one has hit each other yet.
Yep.
Jerry Rice was talking about if he played in that game yesterday, he might be hitting people.
Which, I've got all the Jerry right here.
Play the second one.
All right, here it is.
Back in the day, I'm going to be honest with you. If we played like the way we played yesterday, we would have probably been swinging on each other on the sideline. We would have been fighting each other. That was like, you know, that was not 49ers standard right there. I would say probably what we would do is just simplify everything, go back to route running, go back to where, you know, Brock Purdy is feeling a little bit more comfortable back there in the backfield where he can see the lanes where he wants to throw the football and stuff like that. And let these guys, you know, let these guys earn their money, man. These guys are professional.
I mean, the GOAT speaks and that's that. And I take it as such. At the same time, that's always the way. I feel like the former players always kind of, you know, back in the day, we would have this, that, and the other. Sure, sure, I get it. Although those were, you talk about the high bar for Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, the bar for Joe Montana and Steve Young and Jerry Rice was even higher because they were coming off of multiple championship victories already. So I get that. I totally get that. Yesterday was incredibly disappointing and frustrating, and my word, undisciplined. And there's all kinds of concern that I think you're fair to project toward that. At the same time, I still think the second half of the season is going to look different than the first.
It might, but I'm just listening to what Jerry was saying beyond the, you know, how mad they'd be and this and that. But he said something in that cut that you played about making it easy on Brock and getting to a spot where you can, you know, make it so he has better throwing lanes, so he doesn't have to, you know, throw through people. And I'm looking at a lot of the routes, having watched it again today, and I didn't see a lot of those easy type throws. And I still think that Kyle Shanahan is looking to push the ball down the field more than, for example, Kansas City did. Kansas City gave Patrick Mahomes many more short throws, easy throws, quick throws, and I'm not seeing him do that for Brock Purdy. And I'm just looking at the second half. In the first three drives, he was 4 for 9 with 2 interceptions. And, you know, a lot of those throws were, you know, he's pushing it down the field. He did hit one big to Grendo later in the game. Or I'm sorry, it was Cowing, I think, the 46-yarder.
Yeah, that was Cowing.
41-yarder. And I'm not seeing, especially in a game like yesterday, where Kansas City is all up on everyone down the field, like the man-to-man coverage was impeccable. How about more swing passes and screens and just quick throws that you can get the ball in somebody's hands and allow them to make a play?
Yeah, we'll go out to the phones, but I do remember back to the Super Bowl when Spagnuolo said after the game, he's like, we started in a zone and Brock Purdy was picking us apart. So we switched to man. And guess what? That's what they're going to do until you figure it out. That's what they're going to do. And that's on Brock. That's on Kyle. That's on the guys to get open. You're going to have to figure out how to beat the Kansas City Chiefs man-to-man defense if you were to see them again, which right now you're probably not.
Right.
But if you were, that you got to figure it out. So if that's different play calling, if that's the guys getting open differently, you know, it's going to come down to scheme. It's going to, and then Brock has got to make better decisions and deliver better and all of those things.
Yeah.
Let's go to Kai in the city. Hi, Kai. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? So I actually agree with everything you said. Sorry, my voice is a little shot from screaming yesterday. But essentially, it just feels like Kyle and his drop-back passing concepts are a little outdated. You know, I feel like Reed just has his number, Spags has his number every time he tries to do something. His guys are sitting in spots, you know, and I feel like Purdy, sometimes the blitz comes, he's trying to get rid of it. He's trying to do something a little too much. And a lot of it now, especially with guys out, it's just going to force them to adapt. They got to do something different, like you guys just said. Like, something has to change, right? 0-5 against the same team. Like, we're just banging our heads against the wall. It's insanity. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. I don't know what you guys think.
No, Kai, I agree. Thanks so much for calling. It's head-scratching. It's head-scratching with a little space for I don't know what happens to a playbook. You know, I think this is one thing that we do forget, okay? Imagine going to a job interview, or even better, go back to when you were in school, okay? And you're getting ready for a big test. You got a big midterm on Thursday, and you study Monday, and you study Tuesday, and you study Wednesday, and you get to the test, and they're like, oh, no, no, it's on a completely different subject than what you studied. And maybe that's an overstatement of a comparison, but when you put in a game plan, I would imagine, I've never done it before, I would imagine if you put in a game plan as an offensive coordinator, and then and so many of the plays are centered around Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk,
sure,
and then you play the game and they're not there, especially Deebo, because all the kinds of plays that I hear people want, they wanted to see, and I did too, those are Deebo kind of plays. And like, they don't have another Deebo. They don't really have someone who can do those bubble screens and run the ball and give you that multidimensional threat. I don't know. That's the best I can say. I don't know what happens to a game plan when at the last minute Deebo Samuel's supposed to play and then he has fluid in his lungs.
Well, you got to change it. And, yeah. You know, he did find, he found out Saturday night that Deebo wasn't feeling well, so there was a chance for some sort of a contingency plan. And, you know, Deebo comes out and he gives it a go and he had no carries and no catches. I don't even think he was targeted in the game.
No, he ended up
playing about six snaps and it just wasn't going to happen. And I think that Ayuk was a pretty big part of the game plan, but even when he was out there, he wasn't getting separation. And you didn't have anybody other than George Kittle show a great ability to get open consistently. You know, Kittle was great, and he had the one pass to Cowling that I mentioned. Pearsall had a few catches. A couple of those were late in not quite garbage time, but desperation time. In general, your passing game that you like to do, they were unable to do it. You didn't get separation from your receivers, and so your adjustment was, I don't think your adjustment was really made. You were hoping that Brock Purdy was going to be able to make throws, and he made a few throws, but he had too many that were just bad throws in the double and triple teams.
Four snaps.
For Deebo.
Four snaps for Deebo, 25 for Brandon Ayuk. And as it turned out, their snap count leader at the receiver position was Ricky Pearsall with 48, followed by Chris Conley with 44, followed by Ronnie Bell with 24, obviously, Brandon in there with 25. Jacob Cowing had 12. Deebo Samuel, 4. There's your wide receiver snap count.
Yeah.
That's not a good group.
It's not.
That's not a good group. It's not a good group.
You're right. And so I look beyond that. Okay, so you don't have Deebo. He's out sick. And you lose Ayuk at halftime. So I would think the next most reliable ball catcher would be George Kittle. And he got a ton of targets. And he played 58 snaps. And then Kyle Juszczyk. He played 26 snaps, 41% of the game for Kyle Juszczyk. And Eric Saubert played 14 snaps. Tung just ended up playing just the one snap. But for me, I'm a little bit flummoxed as to why you didn't get more for Kyle Juszczyk. I know he had a big run in the opening drive of the game on 3rd and 19. He got you that 14-yard run. And I think he had a couple other targets. But why not get him involved as a pass catcher, and why not give Jordan Mason a couple of chances on screen passes where, you know, Kansas City was eating you up. Everything that you were trying to throw down the field, they were covering. So where was the adjustment? I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either. I just know all of these things work in concert together.
They do.
You know, the offensive line also has to allow the offensive players to go do all of those things. So, but I'm with you. It was head scratching for sure. Adrian in Hayward is next up. Hi, Adrian. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, folks? Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Brock Purdy. Since the Christmas massacre, he's 6-6. 11 interceptions, multiple fumble turnovers. He's horrible on pressure, third down situations when they're down. Seems like the tape's out on Brock. Man coverage is what people or these teams are playing on him. He can't thread the needle. He needs guys to be open 5 or more yards. He's not scaring any defenses in the NFL. He's not that accurate. Once they start playing man coverage, he's got to thread the needle. He's not accurate, and he lacks power. He's not that good. We need to start accepting this. This is the guy you want for the next 5 years. And also, every time they lose, it's never Brock's fault. They're always pointing the finger at someone else, including you guys. You guys were saying he's elite for the last 3 weeks. He's not elite. So stop babying him.
Well, I disagree with you, Adrian, but please do not accuse us of not saying it's his fault when we literally started the show by saying I think that that's the worst I've ever seen him play. There's no escaping what Brock did yesterday. It was awful. It was awful. What I will continue to say, and I find funny, is when people think one thing about a person over a 3-year period, and then there's an awful game, and they go, see, he's not good. Why would you do that? And I know you want to start your clock where it helps your argument, which is let's not start the clock until Christmas.
6-6, Mark, in his last 12.
And then give a bunch of numbers that are kind of faux numbers because he actually beat Green Bay in the playoffs, beat Detroit from behind in the playoffs, went to the Super Bowl, didn't have a great game, but no one would argue it was a bad game either. Then you start out this year, and you're giving two losses to him, which I would argue are not on him because of defensive and special teams collapses in games where they clearly outplayed the opponent. and he is handicapped by not having a lot of his best weapons out there. And every person would argue that up until this point, and Kyle Shanahan even said it, that until yesterday, Brock was, quote, having a very good year. And he is. Yesterday was the biggest stink bomb ever. But that'll be my only point today. Yesterday is yesterday. Yesterday's yesterday. I'm not going to use it for all of you who want to go, all right, we've been here now for 30 games, and Brock looks largely like one entity, but yesterday was the real Brock. You're cherry picking. And that's fine. You can. I'm just not going to do it with you. That's what I think. I do. Yeah. I think he's a very, very good quarterback, and I will not walk back my statements from last week. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. He had an awful game. The other guy across the field from him yesterday is supposedly the greatest of all time. Also wasn't great yesterday. He was better, but he wasn't good. We're not going to change our thought on him because it wasn't good yesterday. And I won't do it with Brock either.
Yeah, I thought he was good, the other guy. And it doesn't always come down to passing numbers or touchdowns. He was able to convert on third downs. He made the important plays in the game that needed to be made. He made them. And he made two mistakes. One was a weird throw where his receiver fell down. And, you know, if his receiver doesn't fall down, he probably doesn't complete it. But I don't think that it would be an interception. It certainly wouldn't be an easy interception. And the other one is a fluky play, as the NFL Films expert Greg Cosell would say, because it's just a batted ball at the line of scrimmage. So beyond that, Patrick Mahomes was fantastic in the plays that needed to be made, including the biggest play of the game when he scrambles down the sideline and jukes one and stiff arms another and goes 33 yards and basically puts them in a position to salt away the game.
His mistakes were nowhere near as bad as Brock's. Absolutely. He was still, even when not playing great, was still in control. I'll give him that. He's also Patrick Mahomes. Nobody has ever said that Brock is Patrick Mahomes, even when Mark Grandy spent time last week saying that he is, quote, playing better. At no point did I take that to mean, well, yes, and Mark now thinks that Brock Purdy is a better player than Patrick Mahomes and would take Brock over, but he didn't mean that. You know, you listen for the context is all I would say. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.